Another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast.
Hello.
I'm Ollie.
How are you?
Helpful. Educational.
Research the heat press.
The best podcast conversations we have had.
My business called Drum the Garlic Design.
With Matt from PrintPro UK.
It's nice to be here.
I have loved this episode. If you're a garment decorator, welcome to the crew.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast. Today I'm joined by a very special guest. We've got Benny's Yard with us today. Hello, how are you?
Hello, good, thank you.
You've been spaced out there, you're right. Yeah. How are you doing today?
Yeah, not too bad. It's my day off, so I thought I'd come and see you guys at Stoles and do this podcast.
Yeah.
It's lovely. And I might just enjoy a walk around Braintree afterwards.
Do it. I mean, lovely place to go for a little wander. So for anyone that's watching this podcast episode and has no idea who you are and what you do for a living, give us a bit of an introduction, because you run your business slightly differently to how I would say most people run.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I started out as an artist, working part-time when I graduated from uni back in 2014. Whoa.
It's scary when you think back, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And yeah, I sat down at my desk at work one day. I was turning 30. I just made the decision to quit my job there and then. So I didn't really have a plan other than doing illustration and artwork on the side. So I thought, well, I'll quit my job and I'll give that a proper go.
Is that what you were doing before, illustration and artwork, but for someone else?
Yeah, so I work on a commission basis. And obviously I was doing my own work as well. So I've done T-shirts and stuff in the past, but it was all like outsourcing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you send off your design, they send it all back, which is all good. But, you know, you've got minimum orders and stuff like that. And it's one design, which, you know, the heat press has allowed me to sort of explore more options, because mm-hmm. you can order as many designs as you want on the gang sheet, see what works and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, quit my job in 2022, one of them years. And then, yeah, been doing it
about
ever since.
About 5 years ago, roughly.
Yeah, and then been doing it ever since full time.
Amazing. And tell me a little bit about where you run your business from.
So I live in a little seaside town called Felixstowe. It's up and coming. It's great. I work out of a double-decker bus that's been converted into an art gallery downstairs. So I sell my work in there alongside other local artists as well. Mm-hmm. And the point is, we've called it All Shapes because we want it to be inclusive. So whatever level you are at in art, whether mm-hmm. you're just starting out or you're, you know, you're working as full-time professional, we wanted a space that could allow people to give it a go. And, you know, we don't take any commission. We just charge rent for the space. Mm-hmm. And then upstairs is my studio. So I make all my bits and stuff in-house and then sell it downstairs. And I do all my commissioned work up there as well. So it's like kind of a two-in-one sort of build, if you know what I mean.
What made you want to run your business out of a bus?
I didn't decide to do that.
You didn't?
I kept pestering the landowners down at Beach Street that I wanted a unit down there to start, you know, selling my work and stuff. And they kept telling me, we don't have anything. We don't have anything. And I kept emailing them. I was like, you've got something. And they're like, no. And I walked down the side and they had this double-decker bus sat on the side of the road collecting tickets from the council. And I was like, do you guys own that? And they're like, yeah, we don't know what to do with it. I was like, I do.
Yeah, like, that's my unit.
So they let me have the unit. Yeah, they let me have the bus. I mean, it was in a sorry state.
So you had to convert it and do all that yourself?
Yeah.
God, that must have been a lot of effort.
Yeah, it was me and my business partner at the time, Adam Gould. We set it up together. And, yeah, it took both of us probably about a month to get it all ready. It was mainly just pulling pallets apart and then just using the wood from that to make it nice and just fit in some worktops and stuff. So it wasn't too bad. Once we got it stripped and cleaned, that was the hard part. Once we'd done that, getting the bus ready and actually getting enough work ready to actually fill the shop as well.
I can imagine that's quite a big space, because when you think about it, like, a double-decker bus is quite big. But when you think about the inside of it, you wouldn't think it was as big as like a workshop. But when you're selling bits of art, that doesn't take up that much space.
No, it's not. It's true. It doesn't take up that much space. And once you take the seats out of the bus, they're actually huge.
Yeah,
like the upstairs in particular is, I mean, you could live in it.
People you know. Do,
yeah, people do. You know, you'd need to install a toilet and stuff like that. But
yeah, it's not functional at the moment. You can shower in it or anything like that, or cook in it. No. Or I don't know. People make we've seen people make videos of like cooking stuff on the heat press before. So maybe you could like start making cheese toasties with your heat press.
Do some wraps.
I mean,
we've got a toaster and we've got a microwave in there.
Oh, there you go. And problem solved. As long as you can have
a fridge and a freezer, actually. So it's not too bad.
So you can make cups of tea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't drink tea. But
toilet. You could live in it.
Yeah, you could. Honestly, you could.
Oh, This has taken a very odd turn talking about the bus situation, but I love it. I think it's such a unique thing to have done.
Yeah.
What was the first thing that you ever actually heat pressed? Because you were telling me before about how you went from art to garments. Where was that transition? How did you go from art and illustration to printing apparel?
It wasn't really a transition. I've always been into my clothes. I've always been a skateboarder, and skateboarding's a big part of, you know, clothing, what you wear while you're skating is a big part of it. So I've always been into clothes, and it kind of just naturally happened. I was making artwork, and I was like, oh, well, this will be cool on a T-shirt. Mm. So, you know, I haven't transitioned. I'm still doing the artwork and still working on a commission basis. I'm bringing more into what I offer.
You've added another part to the business.
Yeah, and because particularly now I've got the heat press, people see that I'm making my T-shirts. So now they're like, oh, I want 30 of these made. Can you do that? Not only do they want the artwork made, they also want the T-shirts pressed. I can offer that whole service now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me as a creative, it's just fun to put the heat press on a day where you haven't got much on and just have a play. So the first thing I heat pressed was a T-shirt.
Obviously.
And it was an XXL, like the worst size to start with. And it was in completely the wrong place.
Is it like a belly print? Did you put it way too far down?
Well, because I didn't realise.
It was wonky.
It was wonky and it wasn't in the middle. It was like over here. So my girlfriend just sleeps in it now.
That's cute that you've kept it, though. So many people don't keep their first prints. Like, we were talking to Darren, who we did the More Than a Heat Press episode with, and he was like, no, I didn't keep the first T-shirt. And we were like, what? Who doesn't keep their first T-shirt?
Yeah, no, I've still got it somewhere. I mean, if I make a mistake, generally, I give it away to someone.
Yeah.
So they can wear it.
Yeah, no waste. I love it. So when you say you're just in the bus pressing randomly of an afternoon, you've got some time to kill, is that what happened with the joggers you're wearing? Because you made a very good reel that you put on Instagram that Beth and I both saw, and we were like, that's actually a really good idea. And you came in wearing them today.
Yeah. Obviously, they're not ready for sale yet. I still need to...
They might be by the time this comes out. Never know.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I need to master. There's difficult places where there's lots of seams and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get that pressure, and they're quite small designs. So... But yeah, I just wanted to have a play. I was ordering some hats on Rallowise.
Yeah.
And I saw the joggers, and I was like, well, I like joggers, so let's just get some of them as well, see what I can do with them. And yeah, they're good fun.
That's literally how our How to Heat Print Athleisure series started, because it's the clothes I live in, and I was like, I want to make content about this. It's what you're passionate about and what you genuinely wear every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, drawstring. Why are we wearing belts and stuff?
It's 2025, people.
Do you know what I mean?
Living comfort.
Yeah, exactly. I sat down here. If I had a belt on, do you know what I mean? It'd be really uncomfortable.
This is why I wear jeans that are a size too big for me, because I don't cut in when you sit down.
Yeah.
Logic, right?
Yeah, comfort is everything. It's more important.
Oh, so talk to me about the process of getting your heat press, because I said to you when you came in today, oh, have you been here before? And you were like, oh yeah, I came to see the press before I bought it, blah blah blah. Talk to me about that process, because you said you looked into it for quite a long time before you actually bought the machine.
Yeah. I mean, I do that.
Yeah.
I can't just go out and buy something impulsively. Particularly if something for the business, it's got to be the right thing. And I started looking at things on Amazon, and I just didn't like how they looked. They looked all very cheap. They looked like they were going to break. And if they were going to break, I wasn't going to get any customer service or help. So I found you guys while researching. And yeah, I pretty much decided that it was going to be a Stiles heat press that I went for. I was just deciding which one. And I think I was going to go for like the smallest auto open, and I ended up with the biggest. So,
which is always the best decision. I know that everyone comes in and they're like, oh, trying to save a bit here and a bit there. But I mean, like you've experienced now, you can print as big as you want with the biggest size press, providing it fits under that 40 by 50 centimetre plate, which for designs that you're doing, like the bigger graphic tees and stuff like that, if you ever wanted to do something that was that size, you've got the ability to. Whereas if you'd have bought the smaller one, you're stuck with that size.
You have to get the next press up.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and you could get all the patterns to, you know, and change them anyway. So I figured, well, it's a better investment to get the big one.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So how have you found your heat press so far? You have the auto open, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how have you found it? Yeah.
Absolutely love it. I still, when the timer, and it just opens on its own, it still makes me happy.
It's the reels that you make for Instagram that make me laugh, like when it pops open and you're just like, ta-da! I love it.
It's great fun.
It's so funny.
And yeah, it allows me to, you know, decorate my garments and stuff without the mess and the you know, the cost of screen printing, which mm-hmm. is great. I can just explore my designs and just have a play. And that's essentially the number one most important thing to me. It's like, yes, there's the business side of it, but for me, if I'm not being creative, mm-hmm. mentally, I just wither and die. So...
For those of you who can't...
It was the eye contact with the camera.
Wither and die. So talk to me a little bit about, you just mentioned screen printing. Have you done that before? Did you use to screen print? Okay.
I had a go at college and decided it wasn't for me. Funny thing is, I'm an artist, but I hate paint.
That's quite contradictory, actually.
Yeah, it gets everywhere and it does me head in. So I use like paint pens and stuff. And obviously you have to use a bit of paint, which is fine. But no, not in my studio. I don't want all them screen printing inks in my
studio. That one, all the mess, the cost, all the cleaning up, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lovely process. It's just not for me.
Yeah. I feel like with screen printing, you either have to dedicate your career or your life to being a screen printer, or you can't do both. Like, it's too much of an investment. It takes too much time. You have to master it as well. Like, you can't just buy a screen print and be like, oh, I'm a great screen printer now. Like, it takes time to figure out the process of becoming good at it as well. So, yeah, if you're not passionate about it at heart, I think transfers are definitely the way to go.
Yeah, 100%. For me, it works with my business. You know, mm. I can make the artwork, I can have the artwork pretty much the next day from ordering it,
mm-hmm.
and then it can be on a shirt that day.
Yeah.
Whereas screen printing, you've got all the screens to expose and the colours to make up. And
it's a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How have you found your 360 IQ hat press that you bought last month?
Yeah.
You added a second press to your setup with your caps.
Yeah.
So Hotronics Auto Open, when did you buy that? 3-4 years ago?
No, September last year.
Oh, crikey. Okay. Because Benny was saying to me earlier, he went, oh, it's already paid itself off. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Since September. That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
Good. Yeah, yeah. And look, paid itself off and profit. So it's...
That's crazy.
Definitely worth getting. Looking back now, what was I so worried about? I remember being sat in my car out here, like sweating, like, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, man. But it's fine. It worked out.
And now you're like, yeah, profit, it's all good.
Yeah, it's great.
So anyway, we bring it back to the 360 IQ hat press. How have you found that? Why did you decide to get one of them?
I wanted a hat press. And
I just wanted to make hats.
Yeah, I was like, I've got to make hats. Obviously, you can't do it with the other ones, really. No. I tried. I was like, it must be a way.
Did you squish a cap under the press?
How did that go? Yeah, it didn't work.
No.
Just ruined it. So, and I kind of knew it was going to happen anyway.
But you had to try, didn't you? Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I need to get a hat press. And then obviously this was the one that, why wouldn't you get this one?
Yeah.
You know.
Benny and I were saying before we started recording this podcast, actually, about, he was asking about printing onto puffer jackets. And I was like, oh, yeah, you can. You might need a bit of lower heat, blah, blah, blah. I went, oh, actually, now that you've got the 360, you can print like left chests and small front chests and stuff because you've got that lower heat built in. Like, that heat press isn't just for hats.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to explore that. I'll be putting all sorts under there. So we'll figure it out.
Make sure you film it as well. I'll be very intrigued to see how that goes.
I mean, I love it. I'm not very good with computers, and this one's got a computer built in. So as soon as I started that up, I was like, oh, God.
It's not that complicated.
No,
though,
it's not. I've got
fair.
A couple of presets on there. So obviously I haven't done any of the embroidered patches. That's what I really want to focus on is the embroidered patches on hats and the rubber stamp size ones as well. At the moment, I've just currently done DTFs because that's all I've got in the studio. Just cut up some old designs and tried it out. And they've come out really nice. Mm. And they're selling really well. But yeah, I want to do some like denim hats and stuff. And obviously you can't DTF transfer onto those. So yeah, I'm loving it. And I'm excited to get some new designs. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to be putting an order in soon, guys. So, yeah.
Exciting.
Crossbody bag would suit your vibe, like what you sell in your bus really well. Like you could do a crossbody bag, or like what are they called, like waist packs?
They are almost like the Uniqlo bum bags everyone's got.
Oh, you could do them on the hat press.
You can, yeah, you can do them.
Cheers, guys. There you go. No idea. Yeah,
this is why you come in and have these chats with us. It's all about creative flow. What's the best selling product at the moment? Is it t-shirts? That's your number one?
Oh, it's hard. It's my prints. So my prints and my artwork sell really well. And then I'd say it's between the prints and the t-shirts for sure. I mean, we're certainly in t-shirt weather right now.
Yeah.
But through winter, I printed a few hoodies, gave that a go, and sold quite a few of those as well. So I'd say garments up there with my artwork as a top seller.
It's good that you've been able to add that revenue stream into your business with your current skill set. Like, it hasn't really been, other than learning how to use the heat press, and understanding the transfers and the process behind like ordering those, which is pretty simple.
Which is easy with Stoles, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you very much.
You guys have made it really easy.
Thank you. We do try. We do try.
Yeah.
Beth behind the camera is just like cracking up right now. I'm also going to say, yeah, so other than actually learning how to physically heat print with the press, which also is easy, you haven't really had to do much to add that into your business and start making more revenue. Like, it's just your current designs on T-shirts, which is so simple.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll have a design and I'll be like, what's this going to be? And then what I normally do is I get it printed out in prints and then I'll try it on T-shirts and I'll sort of settle on what I favour.
Mm.
But that being said, what I favour and what necessarily sells can be completely different things. So it's about just being open. I do find that you can be very protective of your artwork as an artist and decide, oh, it's for that thing, when actually it's probably better suited for a T-shirt or something else. So it's just being broad and just being like, well, I'm going to try it. And then you can soon figure out what works rather than trying to preempt it.
Yeah. And I'm like that with our video content sometimes. I'll have an idea in my head of what I want to make. And then Beth will turn around and be like, have you thought about maybe doing that with it? And I'll go, oh, that's actually a genius idea. And if you're not open to change or trying new things, you're never going to explore those possibilities. I can imagine with you, if there's something that you see on a particular design on a certain colour T-shirt, but then someone goes, oh, can I have that on a hoodie? You could be like, no, that's only for that T-shirt. But you miss out on a sale and maybe a new product and all of that. So
yeah, and that's a big part of what I do. I have my T-shirts out in the shop, but I have a sign up saying, if you like this design but you want it on something else, I can do it for you.
Yeah, so you literally heat print on demand if someone wants something day.
I'll just say to them, and all the other units down there must love me, because I'm like, look, just go get a coffee or go get a slice of pizza. I'll be about 20 minutes and I'll have it ready for you.
And
it works really well.
That's actually crazy. I know that we talk about heat print on demand a lot and it's a big topic of conversation because it is so quick and easy to make custom apparel, decent quality custom apparel these days. But I think you are genuinely the first person that we've had on the podcast that actually prints on demand on the day, for their customers. Have we had anyone else that does it in that time? 20 minutes?
Not as quick as that.
That's crazy. That's actually insane.
Is it?
I love it. Well, people sell custom printed products, but I think it's more not on site like you're doing. People will have workshops and they'll sell online, or they'll maybe go to an event and they'll sell some stuff and they'll have stuff pre-printed and they might print a few on the day. But for you to literally have all your custom designs and the tees and be like, mix and match, pick one, that's pretty unique.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it just works. I thought, well, why wouldn't I do that? It is stressful. It can be stressful when you've got a busy shop full of people and you're running the shop trying to serve customers and you've got your press heating up. You're like, I need to get this done. But I've never had an issue with it, really. Sometimes I let the customers come up and watch.
That's cool.
Yeah,
so they can actually see it being made. I feel like they have a better emotional connection with the product they're buying when they see it being made as well.
100%. And they get stoked on the brand then. And then they're more excited to wear it and they're more excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, come back and repeat.
And they feel like they've been a part of it because they've watched it be made. Mm. So, yeah, it's cool.
Start running workshops next, how to heat print your own T-shirts.
Yeah.
Could be another revenue stream for your business. Mm-hmm. Add it on in there.
I do workshops, actually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I teach a couple of young people upstairs. And, when on the quiet days in the week when the shop's not so busy.
Yeah, not when you've got 20 customers lining up.
At the weekend, no. But I teach younger artists and stuff, and I'm currently showing them how to set up their designs ready to send off, and then we will be printing some T-shirts. And
that's really cool. You should
them.
Make content out of that if you haven't already, because that would be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, cool. Something I hadn't considered. But yeah.
Make a little series out of it for TikTok or something. That'd be quite good.
Got to share everything these days.
You do. Content is key. Never have too much content. Says us sitting here recording our conversation. So walk me through a typical day in your life at Benny's Yard. What do you do Monday to Friday, or Monday to Sunday, I should say, because you work weekends there, right? That's your popular time.
Yeah. I wouldn't say there's a typical day. It changes and varies a lot. It's a huge challenge. To be honest, but I rock up at the shop down at Beach Street at about 11 o'clock in the morning, so leisurely start. It's not too bad.
Envious of that.
But yeah, you got to hang around down there till later, because that's, I mean, most people go down there for dinner after they finish work.
So you're down there till like 9-10 o'clock at night some days.
I mean, ideally, yeah. But by the time, sometimes it gets to 6 o'clock, and that's our official close time. If it's busy, I will stay open later, because I've always got work to be doing. Mm. So I'm just like, well, I'll extend my work day. But generally, I get to All Shapes, open up, and then I'll go upstairs and I'll work on whatever I've got on, whether it's a commission logo or some t-shirts to print for people, or admin or accounting stuff as well.
The boring stuff.
All the stuff that you've got to do, yeah.
As a business owner, yeah.
And then, I'll stay open, I'll gauge it, and then it's time to go home and put work away, which I really struggle with.
That was going to be my next question. As a business owner and as a creative, how do you separate the two? Because quite a few people that we've had on the podcast before, they run their businesses from home, which is a lot harder because they don't have like a separation from this is home life, this is where I go to work. Like we come here, we come to the office, we record stuff, we go home. If you're working from your house and it's your business, that's like a bit of a double overlap on like making it harder to split the two. But because you have somewhere to go to work, does it make it easier for you to leave and go home and leave it there? Or do you still find yourself like working at home?
Yeah, it makes it easier. And that was a big reason of why I decided, because I was obviously, when I was doing it part-time, I was actually working from home. And, I'd be a support worker for half the week, and then the rest of the week I'd be an artist, and I wouldn't see anyone because I'd be at home working. Whereas at least now I'm out of the house and I'm at work and I'm meeting people.
Yeah.
And I see how my artwork's landing real-time rather than just putting it all online. Oh, that's one sold, that one, you know. I see. Even if I don't make a sale, there's information, there's data there that I can...
Yeah, what people have looked at, what they've picked up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been really good, getting that. Having somewhere to go, drive to work or commute to is really important, because I feel like you get yourself into that zone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas doing it at home is very, very hard to separate the two. You'll be like, oh, I'll do work and then I'll chuck the telly on for an hour, crossover. But that being said, no, I mean, I go home and sometimes I've got so much work on that I have to do the work at home.
Yeah.
But I'm getting better. But yeah, work-life balance when you've got a business, especially in the early stages. So yeah, you're going to be working a lot.
You were talking to me earlier about the toying with the idea of maybe taking on staff at some point next year.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, if someone else is running a business and is maybe in a similar position to you, what advice would you give them if they were thinking about doing the same thing? Like, is there a certain point that you've hit and you've gone, we need to take on staff now because I physically can't do any more than this? Or is it more like, we're making X amount of profit now, I can afford to have someone else help me so that I can have a better work-life balance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I think it's, you know, having staff will allow the business to become more profitable.
Yeah.
It's just about having faith in that, because, you know, you look at the numbers coming in, it's like, oh, I could pay someone to do what I do. But number one, are they going to do it as well? Probably not to start with. You need to train them. So there's that time that you need to invest there.
Which is that all added to what you're already doing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's allowing your business to grow, because, you know, I'm well aware that in my business I'm doing everything. So I'm the bottleneck.
Mm.
I'm the kind of, I've hit the ceiling of, you can hit the ceiling of what you're capable of earning because you've only got so many hours in the day. Whereas if you can buy more hours by having staff. But it's just about gauging and just being careful, not getting too carried away. You can have a really, really good season where you make a lot of money. But, you know, I take the commitment of bringing someone on board really, really, you know, I take the commitment of someone coming on board quite seriously because, you know, I don't want to employ someone and then a couple of months later have to be like, you know what, I can't afford to have you. So I want to make sure... I want to make sure that I can project forward and see that it's going to work. And I think that'd be the same for anyone.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you've got enough work for 6 to 12 months to keep them. And then you hope that by the time they've been there for 3 to 6 months, they're trained and they're profitable enough that they're helping to bring in more business rather than just you paying them off of what you're already making kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what has been your biggest challenge so far since leaving your full-time job and going self-employed when you look back?
Yeah, realizing my weaknesses. I mean, that's also a strength, right? You realize going into business very, very quickly where you're not as good and where you're strong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about being empathetic with yourself and compassionate with yourself to understand that you're going to make mistakes, it's going to be tough, it's going to be lonely. And, you know, I'm always just looking at that light at the end of the tunnel, being like, this is just temporary. Like, this is part of what I have to go through now to get where I want to go. And I said that's the biggest lesson. It's just being okay with being the fool, because, you know, that's how you become the master. You can't ever get really, really good at what you're doing unless you're willing to be really rubbish to start with.
I actually love that. I think you have to be accepting of the fact that whatever you do initially is always going to be terrible. The first video you make, the first T-shirt you print, the first piece of art you design is always going to be something you look back on and go, oh, that was rubbish compared to what I do now. But you're never going to get to be the best version of it if you never start. Mm-hmm. So you're right. You just need to take the leap and just be like, yeah, we'll just write off the first couple of weeks or the first couple of products and be like, okay, we'll get better from there on out.
Mm-hmm. 100%, yeah. You got to be brave.
Mm. The loneliness side of it, running a business. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that, because I personally feel like it's something that we don't talk about enough. Because if you do go into business with a business partner, for example, you've got someone to bounce ideas off of, which is great. If you are an entrepreneur and you start a business for yourself, yes, you've got friends and family that will be there to support you, but they're not the day in, day out, like there with you all the time, 24/7. Like, mm-hmm. you don't want to be going out for dinner with your friends and constantly just talking about your business all the time. You want to switch off. How do you deal with that side of it?
I just keep soldiering on. I mean, the loneliness side of it is, it's more of a, yes, you have people who support you and stuff, but they don't necessarily understand. I feel like being an entrepreneur is quite a, well, you're in a very small minority, right? So there's not many people that can relate to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like it's like being a parent in some way. Like, I can't relate to someone who's a parent because I'm not one.
Mm.
But also, you can't relate to being a business owner because you aren't a business owner. So it's talking about those issues with the right people, and you kind of quickly realise that there's not many people out there that will 100% support you while you're doing... Well, when you start doing really well, I think that's when you start seeing who really supports you.
Mm.
It's almost like when you're not doing very well, everyone will support you because you're the underdog. But when you start doing really well, it's like there's a bit of that support where it feels like it's just not quite there anymore. It's almost
really?
Like people
I would have thought that would have been the other way around.
Mm.
Oh, that surprises me.
Yeah, well, it surprised me too. I mean, yeah, it can be lonely because you obviously make sacrifices to make your business successful.
Mm.
So naturally, you're not going to be involved in things outside of work as much as you'd like to be. So you feel like you're missing out.
Yeah, you give up certain things time-wise, don't you? Yeah,
100%. And yeah, it can feel a bit lonely, but it's just all part and parcel of it. So if you're going through that, just accept that that's part of it, and you'll move through it.
Yeah, it's not forever.
Yeah,
it's not forever. You'll move on.
It's temporary.
I want to ask you about your social media approach, because you do a fantastic job of making reels, making content for your socials. Whenever you post something new, me and Beth are always like, oh, Betty's posted a new reel, let's check. Like, we always give it a watch and we love it.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I genuinely do. Your content makes me so happy. How do you approach that? Because I suppose I've got two questions. Like, one, how do you manage it now that you've established the business and you kind of know what works and what doesn't? How do you factor that into your like weekly schedule? But how did you start? Because it's so unique the way that you do it. And is that just your personality, but on camera and being really authentic and genuine? Or did you sort of go, oh, this is how I want it to come across? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I don't actually like social media that much.
Great start.
Look, I do. I think it's a great tool for me. It's a great tool to use. But what I'm noticing more and more on social media, it's increasingly fake. You know, you've got all
preach these, to the choir.
You've got all these, you know, brands and stuff that put out an image that, well, I know for a fact you don't represent that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was important to just not take it too seriously,
yeah.
And kind of go at my business and my brand with a bit of tongue in cheek. But, you know, I'm just a working class lad, son of a fisherman. You know, and when you look at it that way, it's, don't take yourself too seriously, man. Just get your content up online. Again, it's going to be probably not as great when you start out.
Yeah.
But as you do it more, you get better at doing it. And I just see it as a way of having fun and promoting the business at the same time.
Yeah. What's the favourite video you've made so far? Have you got one? Or do you sort of just make them, post them and move on?
Yeah, I mean, I did a Sabrina Carpenter. It's nothing to do with work, but I did a Sabrina Carpenter one, like all my mates... Most of my mates don't like her. I absolutely love her. I think she's great. So I just did a video of me sat there looking around to see if anyone was around, and then I put her on, and that was fun. And then, yeah, some fun ones of me making some hoodies through winter. Well, like, again, when it was quiet and rainy. I remember that one.
Someone knocking at the door of the bus when it was chucking it down outside. And you were like, let me just make you a hoodie. That was really good. Yeah.
And then, like, you're skipping through the rain and stuff. You know, you start with one little idea. And then as you start to make the video, you realise, oh, we could do this and we could do that. And then, you know, before you know it, you've got three or four posts.
Yeah, and because you're a creative at heart anyway, I feel like you kind of naturally adopt that side of the business, like the content creation. Whereas for someone that, I don't know, is in, I don't want to make generalizations, but for someone that works in accountancy or like legal or something like that, if they were to start making content, their creative side of their brain probably wouldn't flow as easily as like what yours might, because you are already in that kind of bubble, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, even...
like it comes naturally to you to be like, oh, let's try this, let's do that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've always been interested in video because, you know, again, skateboarding, you're always out there filming and making little edits and stuff. So that's where that all stemmed from. And just jumping on, I mean, when they brought the reels out on Instagram, I was really excited because I do quite like the portrait format video. And I just thought, yeah, I'm going to have a play with this. And I've done it ever since. I mean, remaining consistent at it is really difficult. When you're busy and you've got deadlines and other stuff to be working on, sometimes social media can fall to the wayside. So it's just about just being consistent with that, which is really, really difficult.
Have you got any advice for anyone that's trying to be more consistent with their social media while running a full-time business?
If you can't do it yourself, pay for someone who's good to do it for you. Because they're going to be outside your business anyway. So, you know, I always think of it like you're inside the wide bottle, right? So you can't read the label from the outside, like from the inside. Someone, you can bring people in who can see your brand from the outside, who aren't emotionally invested, and they can just do a good job of doing your social media for you. Whereas I find with my own social media, I can stand in my own way. Because I want it to come across this way, when it's like, well, that's not...
That's the biggest issue I think most people face when it comes to making their own content, is there are so many excuses and so many reasons as to why you shouldn't do something versus just being like accepting the fact it's not going to be perfect and putting it out anyway.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, you've got lots of things to think about, like, oh, when to post, how often to post, is the algorithm going to like it? At the end of the day, don't worry about those things because they'll only hold you back. It's like if you've got something to say or a video or a post to put out, just put it out.
You have to get to a certain point with social and content creation before those things become a problem. Like if you're not posting regularly, it doesn't matter what time you post. If you're posting once a week, do you know what I mean? Like you're better off posting 3 to 4 times a week at random times throughout the day and getting it out there. And then once you do that consistently for 6 months, then you might think, oh, is this the best time for me to do that? But get into the routine of making the content and posting it regularly before you start to worry about the stuff that's going to stop you from posting.
Yeah, 100%. That's better than what I said.
It's the same thing.
don't need me here.
I love this conversation because we do talk to small businesses all the time and we give them the tools that they need to start marketing their business. But it's okay to say that you can't do it all. Like, it's absolutely okay to...
Well, you can't.
100%. You can't.
The other one, so social media is actually not always one that we talk about outsourcing. It's normally like accounting, like the financial side of it. People always want to outsource that, which fair enough because it's boring. But yeah, that's a good point. It's a really good point.
You're only human at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I mean, social media is not for everyone, right? So if you don't enjoy it, and again, you probably started your business because there's an element of that business that you really enjoy, and that's where your strengths are. That's where you need to be focusing your time. And then you can just hire someone who's really good at social media to do it for you.
Love that.
While we're on the advice train, let's keep going. So someone that wants to start out heat printing for 2025, early 2026, what's one piece of advice you'd give someone if they were going to buy a heat press tomorrow and start printing? What would you tell them?
Well, get a good heat press from Stiles, of course. Just do it. That I researched it for ages and I've done all that work for you. So I can say you don't need to do any research. You can just get yourself a heat press and get started. It is easy.
Brilliant. Enough said. End of conversation.
It is. I mean, there's a learning curve to it. There is a learning curve to it, but it's not huge. You know,
compared to a lot of other decoration methods, it's not that big. Yeah. No. What's next for your business? So we were talking before about you want to experiment with different patches on the hats. You've got the joggers you want to work on bringing out. What have you got that's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that you're excited about?
So lots of new designs. So I'm just getting all my commissioned work finished throughout the summer. Mm-hmm. And then towards the tail end of the summer holidays, I should have some time where I can focus on getting all the artwork that I've sort of done over the last year or so ready to send off. So, yeah, lots of new T-shirt designs, hoodie designs, going to be doing beanies. I mean, I haven't got too much of a concrete plan. I kind of like to just see opportunities as they come. Mm-hmm. If you know what I mean, I don't like to plan too far ahead because I think too much can change.
Being flexible, I think, is one of the biggest strengths to a business, not just with new products, but like financially as well. One of the biggest pieces of advice that I think someone's ever given on like a video or a podcast that we've done before has been stay flexible with your finances. Don't invest too much in one thing, because if the trends change or your customer demand changes, you can't move with them. You're kind of stuck in what you've already invested in. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like you've just said, you don't plan too far in advance because stuff changes. You might have a new product that you want to bring out and go, oh, I'll do that next week. And you can, because you're quite adaptable with your business.
Yeah, 100%. You know, thankfully, it's a creative business, so that allows me to be creative.
Yeah.
And if I see that I'm not making enough money, I can go out and make more. Mm. It's just being open to opportunity. And I feel like if you get in your head that you've got a plan too much, you're missing the now.
Yeah.
And there's lots happening right now that you're probably missing because your head's in the future, which I've been massively guilty of. And it is one of my probably biggest weaknesses is I'm too focused on the future. So I'm learning to be more present.
You're trying to not plan too far in advance.
Yeah, I'm just letting go.
How's that going for you?
Really good. My therapist is really happy with me. I'm just letting go a little bit, and it hasn't had a negative effect at all.
Yeah.
It's almost like the pressure of the business is off my shoulders, yet I'm doing everything that I was before, but I'm doing it with a smile and a swagger, which is a much better way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's perspective, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's how you look at everything. Like, life's not that serious.
No, it's not. And you know, there's tough times. You got to see it as the tough times. It's a period of learning. You know, there's two. Like, there's a period of earning and there's periods of learning. And that's the way I look at it, and it helps.
Mm. One more question for you. What is one thing that you absolutely couldn't live without in your double decker bus?
One thing, I mean, that's Pepsi Max is pretty important.
Not what I was expecting you to say, but okay, I thought it was going to be paint pens. But
my till's pretty important as
well.
Yeah,
car machine.
Car machine. Yeah, obviously all the stuff that allows me to create my wonderful artwork. So yeah, my paint pens, my heat presses.
I like the Pepsi Max answer. So many people go, well, the heat press. And I'm like, well, yeah, obviously. But, like, what's the fun answer to that question?
Yeah, Pepsi Max.
Yeah, Pepsi. Brilliant. Sponsored by Pepsi Max. This is brilliant.
Honestly, you won't see me without one.
That's hilarious. Benny, I've had such a good time chatting to you today. Thank you for coming on.
Me too.
If people want to get hold of you, find out more about your business, come visit your shop, where can they find you? Online, in person?
Mm-hmm. So you can find me in the shop down at Beach Street in Felixstowe. Definitely come. It's a lovely seaside town. And when it's sunny, like it is hopefully now, whenever you're watching this, you can come down and enjoy the seaside and come and hang out at Beach Street. It's great. And online, so my Instagram is @Benny's_yard. My website is bennysyard.co.uk.
I'll put it in the description notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the description notes. Thank you.
Just in case that's wrong.
I'm pretty sure it's right. Bennysyard.co.uk. Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that you sell more products on the bus than you do via the website, right? If you
100%. I'm a bit nervous about online, to be honest. I used to sell a lot on there on Depop and stuff, but with the current way things are with TeamU and Shein and stuff, it's a little bit of a scary place for a creative online.
Yeah.
So I've peeled my work back from there.
It's working. It's working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming down and being on the podcast with us. We've loved having you, and hopefully this won't be the last time we have you on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me. It's been brilliant.